Welcome to another installment of our podcast series for our Nordic EdTech project. I'm Eilif Tronsen, and I'm very pleased to be interviewing my friend Endre Elvestad, the founder of the Norwegian startup SignLab AI. I first met Endre when he worked for the Norwegian Consulate General in San Francisco in 2015, and after spending some time traveling in Asia, Endre went to finish his degree at NTNU in Trondheim, and then went on to start SignLab in February of this year. It is great to welcome you to our podcast series, Endre.
Thank you, Alex. I'm glad to be here. You know, I've been following this podcast and following what you have done with the Norwegian EdTech Network for some time. So very happy to be on your podcast.
Great. So you've been quite busy since we first met. And busy is good.
I would say so.
So when finishing up your degree at NTNU, you got the idea for SignLab. And maybe you can tell our listeners a bit about how that came about, and also what the, your vision was for SignLab, and what your ideas are for SignLab going forward.
Right. So SignLab is born out of my master's thesis at the Norwegian University for Science and Technology. And it actually started while we met in Silicon Valley, where I got the hang of like the interest in virtual reality, which in the start of 2015, it seemed to be a very promising field. And then during 2016, it really took off. And while researching the connection between virtual reality and learning, I saw that it had a huge potential for something that I did not know very much about at the time, but that I, having done a lot of research, user interviews, said that, oh, actually, there is a huge problem of teaching the hearing to speak proper sign language. You can imagine. So what SignFed is doing is creating a global platform for sign language learning, the way to learn sign language in an efficient way. And up until this point, if you are a parent or someone in proximity to someone who is deaf, if you wanted to learn sign language, you could not pick up an audio tape or a book in the same way that you would for, a conventional oral language. Actually, what you would get was a book with pictures, and they were extremely inefficient at teaching anyone sign language. Like the rates of completion or the rates of, getting to a conversation level were extremely low. So really the only viable way to teach sign language was in-person classroom education for parents. Right. And that, of course, if you don't have that in your immediate surroundings, most people don't do that. And a good way to teach sign language, since it is, a very, it's talking in 3D space, right? It's movement, it's facial expressions, and that can be modeled very well in virtual reality. And that was my master thesis. And that is now a part of SignLab, but we have moved away from the virtual reality or put that on pause. I still think it is a good way to teach sign language, but most of us do not have a VR system in our homes, but almost everyone have a cell phone or a computer. So we are starting there and then moving to virtual reality.
Great. Well, I should mention for those of our listeners who don't know that Hamar and Elverum, the region in Norway, is actually becoming kind of a center of excellence around VR. And
that's
I've been
true.
Reading up a little bit on that in recent months, and including for education and learning. So clearly there is growing recognition that VR and also AR, augmented reality, are going to be interesting factors in learning. But let me go on to the next, a couple of months ago, you had the good fortune to get an opportunity to join the first program of Singularity University in Copenhagen. And SU is, of course, well known here in Silicon Valley as a very unique kind of university.
Right. Right.
With a strong focus on exponential technologies that we all hear about these days. And their new operation in Copenhagen is an indication, I guess, of a plan to for SU to gain a little more global presence than they had in the past. So can you talk a bit about your experience there and what could other Nordic EdTech companies perhaps do to get an invitation to their Copenhagen program?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So that was actually kind of, you know, it was certainly not planned.
Right.
That this Singularity University thing would happen when it did. But I'm really glad that it, I jumped on this wagon. I saw this opportunity to apply. And so what Singularity University is, I think, at least if you are outside the Valley or outside Silicon Valley, that is, you know, they teach the Silicon Valley mindset or the experiences that are inherent in the Valley, in the tech entrepreneurial place that is Silicon Valley.
Right.
And taking that out, you know, to the Nordics, to the rest of the world, really. But usually before this, they have brought everyone from around the world to the Valley, and now they are physically moving out to Copenhagen. And this was, as you said, the first time that they have tried to do that. And this program, who run for a week, it was a week-long program with, I think, about 80 applicants that were arriving from most, I think, about 50% from Copenhagen and around Danish cities, and the rest from the Nordic, a few from Poland, Germany, mostly Western and Northern Europe. And it was intensely interesting to see how they managed to mix the Nordic model. I'm not sure if there is something like a Nordic entrepreneurship model, but, you know, Nordic societal standards, way of seeing things with what I would see, you know, is the essence of Silicon Valley mindset of technologies are increasing in utility in an exponential fashion, and, you know, we should think not 10 year ahead, but think 30 year ahead and how we can bring it into existence in, you know, half that time.
Right.
And that, I think, was very interesting. And I really think that if you are an EdTech founder who deals with exponential or like experimental learning or experimental tech in some way, it does not hurt to apply for a Singularity University in Denmark. And they have, I think they have two programs coming, one this fall and one next spring. So each year they have two week-long accelerated, you know, mindset generators, as I think they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called under the name Danske Idea, or it translated to English, that would be Danish Ideas. And if you Google that, you get into how you apply for Singularity University Denmark.
Great. Yeah, I'll bring that up at the conference in Kristiansand in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
A lot of Nordic companies are going to be there, and I'm sure many of them are looking at accelerator opportunities and having something relatively close by in Copenhagen, and as a way to get a taste of Silicon Valley in the Nordics is a great idea. I'm really happy you had a chance to do that.
Yeah, but I really think that is, you know, a good way if you are doing something in EdTech now that, and you think like, how can you 10x? Or how can you use or get influenced by the knowledge that has been developed in the Valley for, you know, since the military started to invest in the after the Second World War.
Right.
To the whole way of the innovators. That is, I think, very valuable for Norwegian EdTech companies.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, I also know that you recently also won a pitching competition, and the result of that is that you're now going to extend that Copenhagen visit and attend a 10-week program at Singularity in the University of Silicon Valley starting in mid-June. So what do you expect from that program, and how do you expect your participation in that program, and how will that affect the future path of SignLab?
Right, so the 10-week program, you know, was kind of a continuation, or the pitching for the 10-week program was a continuation of the week-long program in Copenhagen.
Right.
And we're actually, you know, pitched SignLab for, I think it was about 100 people in Oslo at a congress with what has also been, if you are an EdTech company listening to this podcast, you should check out Catapult Future Fest and Norwegian.ai, which is a new investment fund that have previously funded a couple of great Norwegian EdTech companies that also do something with AI. And they were the sponsors of this 10-week program in Silicon Valley at Singularity University. And pitching SignLab, I think that was definitely, you know, part of the pitch and part of the idea that you would like to tackle some of the world's greatest challenges. That is kind of, you know, they are extremely good at PR at Singularity University.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, yeah, absolutely. They are crazy good. And that has definitely already benefited SignLab and, you know, the awareness in the Norwegian EdTech community that we are starting this. We are, you know, serious about creating this global education system for sign language. And when we actually get to the Silicon Valley, and Singularity University will be at the NASA Ames Research Center.
Right. I know it well.
Yeah, I know you know it well. And a part of that is also, you know, being with the investors in the Valley, taking part and being taught by entrepreneurial leaders in the Valley, which I think, thinking back to just a half year where I was at the Norwegian consulate, met you and, you know, so many extremely interesting people with knowledge of actually building a global tech company, which is something I'm not sure if you really have in Norway.
Right.
That is something I'm looking really forward to, and something I think that Singularity University have facilitated, you know, the environment where such ideas can share ideas and grow as well.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that Silicon Valley pays a lot of attention to is the issue around scaling. So how can you grow rapidly and really become a global company?
Exactly.
And in fact, I'm starting to think about organizing an event for Silicon Vikings on that topic. And I organize 6 to 8 events a year as the chair of the special interest group on entrepreneurship and learning. And so I think this would be a really interesting event, because I know we have some really good people here in the Valley that have given a lot of thought to scaling issues and what does it take to really build a company rapidly and of global proportions. So,
And, you know, that is really a mindset and a knowledge that is not really present in the Nordic countries today. Like, Sweden have a couple of good global tech companies, but really there is a knowledge gap there that is I found during my stay in last time in Silicon Valley was pretty big, like bigger than I previously imagined. That I think would be very beneficial if you did that and, you know, brought that out to the Norwegian EdTech companies and Nordic EdTech companies in general.
Good.
It would be hugely beneficial.
So how would you characterize, if you look back, and it's been a short journey so far, but, you know, how would you characterize it, and how do you see the development in the next, you know, 2-3 years? I know it's hard to forecast and unexpected things are going to happen, but you have to have a little bit of a plan. And what do you see as the biggest challenges that you will probably have to overcome as you scale your operations to become global, as we have just talked about? And
right.
As part of that, have you figured out the business model, or is that still work in progress?
Right. It definitely is a work in progress. Right. I think there's a lot of moving pieces, and, you know, the plans that we have this month will certainly change, you know, in just a couple of months. We are not talking here.
Right.
But that being said, there are a couple of interesting scaling issues in sign language. And the one that many people, not being, you know, somehow connected to sign language, is that it is, sign language is not a global thing.
Right.
So you have, you know, you have American Sign Language, which is actually more inherent to America than, you know, English itself, since you speak English, you know, in Great Britain, in Australia, in Canada, and in the U.S. But actually, Canada, United States, Great Britain, and Australia have different, very distinct sign languages.
Huh.
And that holds for almost every country. So that even if, your Nordic listeners will know, that Norwegian awfully is understandable if you talk to someone from Sweden and vice versa. But if you speak Norwegian sign language to a Swedish sign language user, the connection there is actually quite large. Like you would not really understand what is being said in the conversation. So that is an interesting scaling issue that we are facing. And we are facing it by using new technologies such as motion captures, the same that you see in, you know, the children movies that are animated, like Cars or Toy Story.
Uh-huh.
So we actually, you know, put on this jumpsuit and we give it to some native speaker in American Sign Language or Norwegian Sign Language, and they actually perform a set of signs. And we then apply it to a 3D character. For a child, that is, you know, a young boy or a girl who something that the user can relate to. And for adults, it can be, you know, an adult boy or girl. And we can, the nice thing about having the 3D animation and having that separate from the actual movement is that it can seamlessly scale into VR, which we are going to later, which is like part of our 3-year plan, as you put it. And it can also be adapted to mobile and all the different screen sizes and environments that we might encounter.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, disconnecting the animation and the actual movement, we have a possibility to create a library, and in the future, we hope to make it function as an interpreter.
Mm.
So that in the same way that, you know, you can go into Google Docs or use the Google Speech Recognition API, where you can turn off your mic on your phone, and you can speak into the mic of the phone, and you can actually see that it's in real time being translated into text. We can then translate that into sign language and actually have them doing the movement in real time. For example, for TV or real-life speaker situations, etc. And people here often have this objection that, but why can't they just read the text? And that is a fair objection or a fair argument. But there is the thing about sign language speakers and the deaf is that fairly a large amount, even in developed countries, have a fourth grade reading level.
Right.
And in the global scope, 80% of all deaf are illiterate.
Right.
But they still understand their sign language. So that would actually solve, in countries like India, a pretty big problem for what is 3 million people.
Wow. Yeah, I can see why Singularity University like your idea. You know, they like to tackle big problems, and this clearly is is a big and important problem to tackle. But what about the business model? Can you say a few words about that, where you are, even though
it's
work in progress?
So, you know, this is actually one of the places where being in the Nordics is a special advantage.
Right.
So Norway, during my master's thesis, I've researched this quite a lot. And during the research period, it seemed like the Nordic governments that have a very robust healthcare system pays a lot of money for educating parents in hearing parents, that is. If you have a deaf child, you need to have the parents on, a normal conversational level before they are four,
mm-hmm.
or they will lag behind, for the rest of the school system and into their adult life. So what we are aiming at is to have a hybrid model that in Western Europe and Northern Europe especially, the government will subsidize the cost of our program. And we are currently in discussions with the Norwegian government of how far and how broad the scope should be. But there has, for instance, been a long-standing issue for the Norwegian Association of the Deaf to include siblings in the government learning program for sign language, so that right. if you are hearing siblings of a deaf sibling, you will also get this sign language education that the parents get. That has to this point been too costly, and the cost per parent each year to teach them sign language is around what will be in dollars around $10,000 actually.
Wow.
Everything. Yes, it's really a staggering amount. Because you have to account for that you have sign language education centers just in three major cities.
Right.
And if you live anywhere, Norway is not really centralized, extremely decentralized.
Right.
And then you have to, as the Norwegian healthcare model is, you have to pay their employer for their absence from work. And you will have to pay them accommodation, travel, the management of these education centers themselves.
Right.
And all that amounts to a staggering amount of money. And it's also not really efficient. Because, you can imagine if you were to learn Spanish, 2 weeks each year, you will have a week-long Spanish course, maybe one in the spring and one in the fall. And then you have to yourself, keep at the level that you left off for half a year. Repeat to yourself, how was all this Spanish, verbs and kind of nuances in the Spanish language. And many of them, when they try to learn Norwegian Sign Language, they drop off during the half year off until the next time they have this week course. So that has been a long-standing problem. And we think we have a solution that is available for everyone when it fits them, not the other way around. And that we can create a good synergy between what is currently offered and what they need just to improve and to keep, at the level or refresh the language, if you will, till next time you actually go to this sign language courses in person.
That's great. No, that's really, really interesting. And we look forward to following your journey. But finally, as you plan for the growth of SignLab, what types of partnerships, and you touched upon this a little bit already, and what kind of collaboration with other companies and organizations do you think would be helpful in your growth? And one reason for asking this is that a friend of mine here in Silicon Valley recently wrote a book on the topic of what he calls a purpose-driven business ecosystems. Where he notes that finding the right partners and collaborators can be a key to future success. Most startup companies have very limited resources in terms of, and including competence and money.
Don't I know it?
That's a fact of startup life. Yet,
that is a fact.
You have limitations like that. So that's what he looks at in this purpose-driven business ecosystem, how companies can build out these ecosystems and benefit that way. So I was wondering what thoughts you might have on that. And for the listeners who are interested in this, on our website of the Nordic EdTech Network, there is an interview that a friend did with another friend did with the author of this book, and so you can read about it there. And we also had Kim do a webinar just in fact early this week, so
oh,
that
really?
Will be available too on our website. I don't have the URL yet, but we will soon
Excellent.
Make that available. So I think that could be of benefit to a lot of Nordic EdTech companies. So maybe we could add the finish the podcast with some observations from what you think about in terms of expanding and you know the company this way by finding partnerships and so on.
Definitely, and that is a really good question, and that is because this so. For those coming in, like for myself, I did actually not meet anyone who were deaf until, you know, last fall. So I had no experiences with this area or this field before that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into it, you see that there is a really sad story behind how the deaf have been treated for a very long time. He's talking hundreds of years, and by the hearing. And what you're really teaching is not only a language, but it is also a separate culture. So if you want to teach sign language in a good way and teach deaf culture, that is something very inherent and something that is immensely important for the speakers of that language and the holders or bearers of the deaf culture. And that is unique for, you know, American, unique for Norway, unique for the rest of the Nordic countries.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we are coming in here as, you know, the technical guys, like we are providing a technical solution. But I think it would be, extremely offensive and wrong if we were to go into that language and some way have an opinion on how it should be or how it should be taught, what is important and what is not. It would be similar to, you know, the Swedish coming to Norway and tell us how we should teach Norwegian, or how if the British come to the U.S. and said that, you know, you're teaching English wrong.
Right.
You know, it is really something that is inherent to them, and certainly Sign Lab have the perspective that we are providing a technical solution, but it is absolutely up to the deaf community to, tell us how they want their culture to be presented, how they want their language to be formed and explored. And we have absolutely no opinion on how that should be done. And to do that, you know, you have to have this cooperation with the local sign language associations. So we have one of our first collaborator sitting on the board is the Norwegian Association for the Deaf. And certainly we will expand on that model, kind of the triangle model of our company providing a technical solution, advised and being, you know, not in control over how teaching should be done. That is kind of like put out to the regional deaf association and the deaf community in the country where we are expanding. And then thirdly, the third part will be the customer.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is really inherent in this business model. And if you want to create a sustainable educational system for sign language, you have to have this perspective.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I should mention that my friend who wrote that book, Kim Wilson, over the last couple of years has been doing a lot of work in Brazil. And for various reasons, the Brazilians have really shown a great interest in this idea of ecosystems. And he is now working with a number of different Brazilian organizations, including some investor organizations of angels, and also the Querétaro network here in Silicon Valley. So he's an interesting guy. So if you think of, you know, expanding into Brazil at some time, at some
absolutely.
Point. And of course, the speaking language, of course, is Portuguese there.
Yeah.
So it's a little different from some of the other Latin countries where they speak Spanish. But he could, and he said he's very happy to connect with Nordic edtech companies who are interested in Brazil, and he can use his connections there and help them build networks and find collaborators in Brazil. So
that's immensely interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, Portugal is, I think, the Portuguese, Brazilian sign language, I think, is the fifth largest sign language in the world. So it's definitely high on the list for us.
Well, when you come to the Valley, I will introduce you to Kim, and you can, and I'll tell him about this podcast so he can listen to this and get some of the background, and then the three of us can have a very interesting conversation when you come for your visit here. So,
fantastic.
Okay, Andre, I will let you go, and thanks so much. We really appreciate you being part of our podcast series, and I look forward
to seeing
you here in the Valley before too long.
Absolutely. Looking so much forward to it.
Sure. Great. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.